When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Dick Vermeil joins us every Friday at this time, brought to us by Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals. Means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com. It was the Eagles' choice back in the mid-1970s who to hire. They wanted to choose the right person to get it right and ultimately to try to pass the Dallas Cowboys, which is what Dick Vermeil and his 1980 Eagles did. Coach Vermeil, an honor to talk to you on an Eagles-Cowboys week. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you guys.
You know, Hi, Dick, Coach. There's never a time we don't enjoy talking to you. There's probably never a time we enjoy talking to you more than Dallas week, which I typically refer to Dallas week as the home game here. But, you know, we get two of these. So, Dick, before we get to the present day, can you take our audience, and perhaps particularly our younger audience, back into what you walked into, what the challenge was with Dallas, who had been perennially great, and how ultimately you tracked them down and accomplished the 1980 thing?
Well, I think, you know, Dallas, because of Tom Landry and the management staff there, Gil Brandt, who's in the Hall of Fame, the ownership, everything there was a very, very solid, maybe the number one, two, or three franchise year in and year out in the National Football League. And we come into Philadelphia, my staff and I, and, you know, I've been losing for a long time, and we didn't have any draft choices. So I said to myself, there's no way that I'm going to ever outsmart Tom Landry and the rest of these great coaches, but maybe we could find a way to outwork them, you know, and that's what we attempted to do. And we changed how we practiced in the NFL to more like spring practices in college football. We coached every individual player we had as long as we could keep them on the field and as hard as we could work them. And gradually we got better. But, you know, I was with Reggie Wilkes the other night. He was our highest pick our first 3 years there, and he was a third-round pick our third year, and fortunately he paid off. But it was, you know, it was easier in the old days because you could control how much work you thought your team needed. Now you can't do
sure,
that.
Sure, so no question.
A disadvantage, yes.
You know, Dick, I heard you say something one time, and I'm wondering if you can elaborate. I know you really respected Dallas for the organization they were and their excellence, but it annoyed you that I heard you say one time they would strut. You know, a lot of what we would call cocky, arrogant, stuff like that, that they would strut. How irritating was that for you with them as a competitor that had that thing about them and, frankly, have continued to have many decades later?
Well, sometimes as a coach, you interpret that as disrespect for your team, okay? And if you remember, back and then, they were self-appointed America's team. You know, they never gave me a vote. And they never gave the rest of a league a vote, but they were more or less given that credit, and that it developed an intense rivalry, or helped us, because we didn't want to be looked down upon. You know, and it's all right to be not as good, but that doesn't mean you can't work harder and catch up somewhere down the road, as long as you're fortunate and have great coaches, and then you give them time to coach, you know.
No question. Dick Vermeil with us right now. All right, Coach, let's talk about the present-day squad and the coach and the playing of the game. So Sirianni is obviously very aggressive. In this aggressive era, he's even more aggressive than most. Do you think he needs to dial it back at times? Some of these fourth-down decisions, when you watch the game, do you say, I don't like this one? Do you think he's been too aggressive?
You remember the last time I coached the game was January 1st, 2000. Okay, so that's a long time ago. But, you know, I'm more old-fashioned. You know, I take the points, the fourth-down gambling and these kinds of things. You know, two-point success this year is 31%, down from 55% last year. Going way back, the average is 47.5. So, you know, I always felt it's all right to gamble if it only affects you negatively if you lose. But when you gamble as a head coach and it doesn't work, you affect your entire organization. That's a lot of responsibility. That's more than gambling. That's risk-taking. And I just, you know, it doesn't make me right and another coach wrong. Hey, they did it last night. Thursday night football people do it. But that's just not who I am. I'm too conservative thinking that way.
Coach, I wonder, I think it's really interesting. You said your last year as a head coach was 2006. I think that the iPhones ended up coming out in 2007-ish. And Nick Sirianni talks a lot about how he FaceTimes his guys. I'm wondering, you're such an interconnected guy, you know, a guy that the players would really relate to, I would think. How would FaceTiming work for you as a coach? Would that be a tool that would be beneficial, or is that something that you didn't use it then, you wouldn't use it now?
Yeah, and put another way, Coach, a lot of coaches also lead through some fear. And would that work? Would fear still be on the table if that level of friendliness is on the table?
Well, I think fear is a good motivator. No one wants to fail. And everybody sort of fears being disciplined in regard to failure or being part of failure. But me, in the old days, we put the game plan in, and I would get it over to Jaworski, and I would call him like 10 o'clock on Wednesday night and just sort of review it with him. But there was, like you said, there was no FaceTime. Me, in the old days, especially here in Philadelphia, when you're running your own offense and coaching your own quarterbacks, in meetings and then, running the practice in the organization, I didn't have time to FaceTime anybody, let alone Carol, for time's sake. So it's just a different era now. Plus, you know, we had 10 assistant coaches, and that was three more than anybody else in the league had. Now you got 25 coaches. So the head coach has more time. But I'll tell you, he's got two coaches that are doing an unbelievable job. Just Jeff Stoutland with that offensive line. Take that left tackle. Not drafted left tackle, now playing like a starter. Take Vic Fangio, what he's done with the defense and the addition of these new kids, it's just outstanding. And that's what you need for a head coach to look really good, okay? I know that's what I needed.
Yes. So what is going wrong with the tush push? We failed repeatedly in this last game. It's something we depended on so heavily. Suddenly it didn't work. What went wrong, Coach?
Remember, defensive coaches are getting paid well too. Okay,
that's true.
I'm not a big fan of the play because we all talk about keeping your head up in football. When you look at that play, half the players have their head down, bent under. So I'm not a big fan of it. But it was successful, and it'll be successful again. But you got to give defensive people credit. There's nothing wrong with giving Barkley the ball on fourth and one.
I agree. I love that idea.
So, Coach, let me ask you this about Saquon. He is on pace for close to 400 touches this season, and that's the regular season. If they have to play four playoff games to win the Super Bowl, that could be another 100 touches in the playoffs. This might be close to a 500-touch season. I think it's too much. I look at the way he was getting up last week and say, I know it's tempting to give the ball to Saquon, but I think they got to start dialing it back a little bit. Are you worried that they're leaning too much on him and that you'll get diminishing returns later this year?
No, personally, I think it's about time they lean on him as much as they do, okay? Maybe not 30 times a game, but a guy of that ability, he can win the game for you on any one play. And, there aren't many of Barkley's in the National Football League, okay, of his ability. And with our offensive line and the way they can play and how well they're coached, the running game is 46% of our total offense.
Okay? Wow.
And that's because of game planning. That's because of personnel drafted properly, signed properly, and coached excellently. And you got to take advantage of your strengths. You can't hold yourself back because you're worried about getting hurt. I can remember standing on the sideline calling plays, and I see Wilbert Montgomery standing next to me on the field. I say, something, I'm not nearly as smart as I was when he was in the game.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Coach, did you have a number in mind with, Marshall Faulk, that a guy who was that versatile? Did you feel like you needed to protect him with a number? Was the ideal number for Marshall Faulk 20 combined touches between the catches and the runs, or what did that look like in your mind?
I really didn't. Maybe I wasn't structured early enough in my career to think that way, but my attitude was always put the ball in your best player's hands.
I love it. And
if you don't, you aren't going to win the big, tough games. You aren't going to Super Bowl. You know, and when Wilbert wasn't a running back, if you'll remember, especially as he got going, we lined him out a lot as a wide receiver. In the Super Bowl, he was our leading wide receiver, that we got beat in. And that hurt me because that we didn't have him running the ball. I can't do two things at the same time. But, no, I think you've got to keep your best players on the field. Now, if you're going to play a team that's not very good and you're better and you're playing well, then I think you can temper the carries. You know, I never tempered it in practice for them. I always felt the more they're going to play, the harder they have to work to be able to play more.
And you guys were tackling it.
It's a whole different philosophy.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm right, okay?
Bergie would tackle him to the ground. Those were more touches back in the day. All right, Dick, how about a prediction for this one? The Eagles and the Cowboys, a game that I believe if the Eagles win can almost end Dallas' season. I mean, this is a very important game for the Cowboys. They're in deep trouble. What do you got here this weekend?
Well, they are a poor football team, okay? Both offensively and defensively right now, they're a poor football team. And you have to be careful of assuming they're a poor football team when you go play them, because many times teams come up with the upset. You know, they come up with the upset. They're more apt to get an upset playing a good team when they play them at home and you're not a good team. And you've got to be careful of that. You just cannot take for granted anybody in this league. And remember the kid that's going to start a quarterback, he was 3-1 on a winning record last year. But this football team is an injured football team, and they're not a good football team in any phase of the game. My computer says we're going to win by 15. I kind of doubt it'll be that much. I think we'll beat them. We're a better football team.
Yeah, no question.
Disciplined, structured football. Our profile right now, remember I've said to you guys, there's only two ways you move a football. Run the football and throw a completed pass. Right now, our offense and defense has a 12-play game advantage over our opponents, meaning we're running 12 more plays a game than our opponents are running successfully. That's why we're winning. And if we can keep that ratio, we're going to be in the thick of it.
Love it. Hey, Coach, let me say this, and perhaps I don't say it enough. Thank you. And I don't mean just for jumping on today's program. This Eagles-Cowboys thing, it's a totally different level than it would have been if you hadn't come through Philadelphia for the years
you
were the coach. You made it so much more, and I want to thank you because that's meaningful for us as Philadelphia sports fans.
Well, thank you. But you remember who really made it. Jaworski, Berkey, Carmichael, Sizemore, Frank LeMasters, Randy Logan, these guys, they are the guys that made it, okay, not me.
Love it. Coach, stay well. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Dick. Oh, by the way, let me remind everyone, Dick Vermeil's Tremendous Wine is available right now. And, of course, as we get really very close to the holiday season, if you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, get yourself some delicious Vermeil wine shipped directly to your home. Visit VermeilWines.com, VermeilWines.com for Coach's entire wine selection. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.